Bowden's list? Do we need to go ahead? Do I need to go back? Your guess.
I'm not going to. Why would I share that sort of stuff?
Well, there was, listen, he had 12 names. It's a yes or no question. Are you going to pass?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Welcome to the Darren Smith Show.
This is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back.
Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
Ooh, yeah. Now, here's Darren.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
On Extra 1360.
Hour number three, it is Extra 1360. You can find us via the iHeartRadio app. With you for another hour, taking you to 3 p.m. here on this Wednesday. Baseball has the night off. NLDS Game 5 coming up tomorrow. Dodgers, Giants. It had to go 5. It had to go 5. It'll return to the Bay Area tomorrow night, and you can listen to that here on Extra 1360. We are carrying that game, correct, Jim Russell? We're carrying that game tomorrow night, so stay tuned for that. A Game 5, I mean, just it doesn't get better than that if you're impartial. I realize that a lot of people are partial about two teams in the NL West, but 107-win team, 106-win team, duking it out, and a winner head to the NLCS Game 5. I don't know what could be better than that for entertainment on a Thursday, so we'll see. All right, let us say hello. Speaking of the NLDS, was watching this last night. What a moment. I mean, what an exciting moment. You know, late in the game, Atlanta Braves, Milwaukee Brewers, closeout game for the Braves. Josh Hader's out there on the mound facing Freddie Freeman, lefty-lefty. You think, man, like what a matchup this is going to be. Freddie Freeman goes yard. Turned out to be the game-winning run, the game-winning home run for Freddie Freeman. The Braves, for the second consecutive year, they are advancing to the NLCS. The third base coach of the Atlanta Braves is a name that you might have heard. He was just here a couple of weeks ago. He's been around baseball. He's a baseball lifer. Not many guests that we have on this show that have actually been portrayed on the silver screen. For anybody that's seen the movie Moneyball, you might have seen a character, Ron Washington, played by Brent Jennings, from that great movie based on the book. Ron Washington, the third base coach of the Braves, joining us on Extra 1360. Wash, Darren Smith in San Diego, thank you very much for the time.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I'm very appreciative.
Well, we're appreciative that you're available. Kind of exciting last night. I mean, how do you do it all these years? You know, standing out there, the drama, the moment, heart pumping out of your chest, a moment like that, Freddie Freeman, Josh Hader, everything on the line.
Love. It's love. Exactly what it is. You definitely have to love this game to be in it as long as I've been in it, and to just watch how it transforms. It's just love.
Yeah, and that reminds you of what everybody loves about the game as well. You know, that moment in particular last night, crowd on his feet, right? When you go to the NLCS for the second consecutive year. What a matchup, lefty-lefty. Is that everything you could ask for in the sport or what?
Well, it is everything you can ask for in this sport if the lefty is Hader and the lefty hitter is Freddie Freeman. You know, both of them are very tough. Both of them are high on the craft. So it was just an exciting time, especially us fighting back two times after falling down because you know, Milwaukee was in a situation where if it turned out the way it turned out, they were going home. And we certainly didn't want to have to get on a plane and head back to Milwaukee. So the undeniable fight came out of our guys. It's something that we've been seeing all year. And it was in our favor. And we were very fortunate enough to have the man at the plate at the time. His name is Freddie Freeman.
Yep, MVP. Ron Washington joining us on Extra 1360. It's interesting, you know, when you have an incredibly talented roster, as you know, and when Ronald Acuna goes down earlier this year, people sort of said, well, you know, that's probably a wrap for the Atlanta Braves. And you know, then you go out, add a couple pieces at the trade deadline. Wash, I would wonder what it was like when you lose a player of that magnitude who's having, you know, another outstanding season. You know, most people gave up on the Braves in that moment. What was it like there in Atlanta?
It was actually rallying time. You know, we know we lost Ronald. We also knew that we still had a chance in this division. And we hadn't played our best baseball yet, so it was a rallying time. And as you mentioned, Alex Anthopoulos did a great job of adding to our roster, and he put us in a position to be where we are right now. But it was certainly rallying time. There was some tears, you know, it was all of that. But we all got together and let all our feelings out in one place, because when we come back tomorrow, we got to continue our strut to the division championship.
And in fact, that's exactly what you did. And you know, the division played out the way it did with the Mets, with the Phillies, et cetera. You guys end up out there on top as well. And here you are back in the NLCS. Ron Washington joining us on Extra 1360. By the way, like, how good of a player is Acuña? You know, we got our we're treated to watch one of the great young players in the game. And there's a handful of them, Wash, and probably too many for us to discuss. But we get one here every single game. Fingers crossed with Fernando Tatis Jr. What's it like with Acuña every single day?
It's amazing. You never know what he's going to do. You know, and the kid is like Tatis in the sense where it really doesn't matter what you throw up there. Because if you keep throwing the same thing up there, it will disappear. they can make that type of adjustment. They have that type of ability. Right now, the game is easy for them. And these past 3 years, we've just been trying to get Ronald to learn the game to go along with his ability. And, you know, each year he takes a stride. And it takes time. But there isn't too many with ability that Ronald Acuña has. He has the 5-2s, run, field, hit, throw, hit with power. And he does that with ease, just like I know Fernando Tatis does.
It feels like there's so much great young talent in the game. You've been around forever. Before we get into the managing stuff, which I'm sure is what a lot of people are tuning in to hear right now, Wash, as you well know, it feels like you've been around for so long. The depth of young talent in this game right now, Tatis, Acuña, Soto, I mean, we could go on. I mean, I don't know that it's unprecedented, but you're a perfect person to ask about just how good some of the young players are in this league.
Well, I don't think it's unprecedented because if you go back in history, there was quite a few of young ones. I think it's just the generation that we're in. They are stronger. They are faster. You know, we have to do a lot more teaching them about the game than you had to do in the past, but that's okay. You know, that's why old guys like me are still around so we can make sure they don't forget, you know, what this game is about. And it's got to be more than just liking it. You got to love it. And so these young kids we got in this game today, the one in Washington, I mean, super kid. You know, you can name them all, really, and you will continue to name because each year they keep coming back. But the thing about it is those young kids that are at the top of the profession, we just got to keep teaching them how to play the game.
Well, that's an interesting point because people wonder, too, like how it is that people from different generations communicate in the game today. Certainly something from a coaching perspective that you would have insight on, something that managers are constantly asked. I mean, how is it dealing with younger players? How is it that you continue to connect with them? I mean, we see it. We see the way players respond to you, Ron Washington, when you're out there on the field, when you're running drills, et cetera. We've talked to a million different reporters about you. How do you maintain that connection to different players from a different generation?
By being honest, by telling the truth, by making certain that they respect the game. And believe it or not, those three things that I just said, then the game begin to show them. So now you get credibility because the game is showing them something that you've been saying that they really wasn't taking in. And then all of a sudden they're sitting there watching a ball game and it pops up. So in his love, his understanding, it's respect for the game, doing the things that the game asks you to do, not just go and play, play with a purpose, have intent. All of these little things that I'm saying is a part of being successful in the game of baseball. So we can't forget it's baseball. I know there's a lot more going on around baseball, but our job is when we get on in the dugout and they get on the field is to play baseball and to play every part of the game that the game asks. And, you know, when you are trying to interest these kids in saying things like I just said, and I'm around them every day, it resonates. And then all of a sudden you start seeing a difference in their life and how they handle themselves, how they relate with their teammates, how they relate in the community. You know, just become young gentlemen that you run through a wall for.
Well, there are a couple of teams that are searching for a big league manager. Ron Washington, your name has popped up. You have been a candidate for the managerial position here in San Diego before. Take us back a couple of years. What was that process like for you when you were interviewing for the vacant managerial position here in San Diego?
It's a tremendous process. you know, it wasn't my first time going through an interview, so it certainly was class. It was informational. It was just wonderful for me, period, to be able to sit down with a mind like A.J. Preller and be able to discuss baseball with him and his group. So, you know, there isn't anyone that go into an interview when they leave think they didn't do good. So I thought I did good. And if you walk into an interview and come out and didn't think you did good, you probably didn't. So I walked out of there very comfortable. But, you know, decisions are made. Sometimes they're made in your favor. Sometimes they're not.
It strikes me as odd that, you know, you were so successful in the 8 years that you were in Texas, a couple of AL pennants, et cetera. And you resigned in 2014. And, you know, I go, well, why doesn't a guy like that? And I hear it on broadcasts, Ron. I hear it on when you guys were in town. There was a national broadcast. I heard it. Our broadcasters here in San Diego were talking about it. Any reason why you think of why, you know, you've interviewed not just here, but in other places as well? I mean, is it odd to you that you haven't been hired as a big league manager again since you resigned in Texas?
Well, I don't think anyone that goes in to have an interview for a big league manager's job don't think they're going to get it. And sometimes you might be unlucky. Sometimes you don't have a reason why it didn't happen. It's just that the organization decided to go in a different direction. So I don't question it. I just go in and I give my best. The people that know me in the game of baseball, they know how much I love it. The people that know me in the game of baseball, they know who Ron Washington is. Yes, Ron Washington had some setbacks in his life, but that's life. And I dealt with that. And you face those type of things. But, you know, you certainly can't control a decision by people that make the decision. You're only in the process. And until they make that decision, that's all you are in the process.
How well do you know A.J. Preller?
I know A.J. very well. But that just goes to show you, you know, he wasn't making his decision on how well he knows someone. He was making his decision on who he thought was the best to lead what he wanted to have accomplished. You know, and I know that's a disappointment. But, you know, sometimes expectations just don't get met. And the first time you go out there trying to do it, managing isn't easy. Managing isn't easy at all. So, you know, that's the way I looked at it. You know, AJ and I are still friends. That's the way I looked at it. He just decided to go in a different direction.
That dynamic between the general manager, president of baseball operations and the managers is a unique one. And, you know, we've seen some great pairings over the years. You know, Kevin Towers, Bruce Bochy comes to mind here. You've been a part of some of those great pairings as well. You can't do it, you know, unless you have that kind of dynamic. How do you see that? Like the dynamic between the general manager and the manager? Like what makes a great pairing?
It has to be unity. It has to be unity, and it has to be dialogue all the time. Now, just because you say dialogue don't mean that those dialogues are where you cross your leg and you're talking normal. Sometimes that dialogue is a little shouting going on. But, you know, we trying to get to an understanding. So I think when there's a disconnect between the general manager and what's happening in the clubhouse, then there's a disconnect period of what we're trying to do. So I think they need to be connected. They certainly need to talk about any and everything and have dialogue. And then after dialogue, there's a process. After the process, then there's action. So, but you end up getting to where you're trying to get. That's the bottom line, trying to get where you're trying to get.
You recently said you were quoted talking about the Padres vacancy, said, I think I'm qualified. I think I can get that team over the hump. That's my thinking. I need that general manager to think like that. I'm definitely able to get them where they want to go. I don't know what it is that you have seen here. I'm sure you were more focused on the Atlanta Braves than you were on the San Diego Padres. But just in generalities, Ron, what is it that you think you could contribute here that would get this team over the hump?
Togetherness, oneness, just all of us trying to get the job done together. And through that, there is difficulties. I mean, through that, there is sometimes anxiety. Sometimes there's a difference of opinion, but you know, when you have the same goal in mind, you fight through all of that. And at the end, you begin to reap some of the the goal that's at the end of the rainbow. But it's not easy. It's not easy, even when you have a good team, because the mindset has to be right. The attitude, the commitment to the game of baseball has to be right. The commitment to each other has to be right. The commitment to the whole organization, making certain that if anything crops up, we handle it. We get rid of a problem and we move forward, or we deal with the problem and go through the process. So, I mean, all of that comes into play. It's just not X's and O's.
Has the job changed, or how has the job changed since you last managed a big league game?
Well, I think the job changed because sometimes you get people that are in charge don't like to rock the boat. But when I say rock the boat, I'm not saying going against what needs to be done. I'm just saying, you know, making decisions on things that are up in front of you where you got to make a decision. And the outcome of it, you know, the results of it, I deal with it after I've made my decision. So I just think that now the game has changed to the point where it's slugging and it's pitching and it's defense. And there's a lot more to baseball than slugging and pitching and defense. So you get a group together that believes and is willing to execute the game of baseball, and is willing to go out there and execute whatever the game asks you to do and be complete, that's a fighter. And anybody that's getting your way, they're going to be in a fight. And that's all you want to do.
The local newspaper out here, the San Diego Union-Tribune, had reported that several players expressed their desire, that their willingness to play for Ron Washington. I don't know if you have or haven't seen this. This is the first time you're hearing it. I'm guessing based on the previous 15 minutes of conversation, it's probably not a surprise. But what would that mean to you? I mean, what does that mean to you when you hear the players have said that?
I haven't heard that. I haven't read that. But it certainly makes any person feel good that, you know, the guys that will be out there in the fight the most between the lines think that you can make a difference. But you know, the difference has to be made in the organization thinking that I'm the guy. That's where the difference has to be made. And then if that decision is made, then we'll go from there. But I appreciate, you know, them saying those things about me. And I don't have any doubt that I can lead. I've been a leader all my life, but that's not my decision. And, you know, until I get a call and say that there's interest there. As you said earlier, I'm focused on the playoffs right now.
So no call yet? No interview arranged just yet for Ron Washington?
No.
Okay. And hopefully for you that happens. Who do you think it was? Any guesses who those players were? Do you have any connection to any of the players in the Padre clubhouse?
I think you have to let the people that make those decisions make those decisions. Wherever they get the references from, wherever they get the information from, I know they will do a tremendous job at doing it. But I think we need to let the people that make the decision make the decision.
Yeah, but it'd be nice if it was Manny and Tatis, wouldn't it?
I think if you ask the A-ball manager that, he'll tell you, yeah.
Hey, when's the last time you watched the movie Moneyball?
Who wouldn't?
Right. When's the last time you watched the movie Moneyball, by the way?
About 3 years ago. I was sitting in my living room watching TV, and it came on. And so I watched it about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel like the actor, how did he do playing Ron Washington? It's Brent Jennings.
I mean, just yelling, picking machine was awesome. But the only thing about it I had an indifference with is I don't do my work leaning on the dugout. You get what I'm saying?
I get it. So like the positioning of your character wasn't right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on the field. I'm not on the sideline, but you know, that's a movie.
Right.
I mean, the content of the movie was real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I gotcha.
And some of the things that they do in the movie, I guess they got to do what they got to do. But Ron Washington don't work leaning on the dugout.
Good luck to the Atlanta Braves. Whoever you play, I promise you this, not just because I'm sure that you've got a lot of fans here in San Diego, but nobody wants to see these NL West teams advance out here in San Diego. Wash, we appreciate your time. Good luck to the Braves. Thank you very much.
Well, I thank you guys for having me.
You got it. Ron Washington, everybody, third base coach with the Atlanta Braves. All right, we will take a break. We will come back and get into some TV listings, some final thoughts. What's going on later?
.com today.
All right, coming up on television a little later on tonight, here's what Marty suggests. Mavs versus Hornets, 3:30 p.m. on ESPN. That's an hour away. If you really want to watch some preseason basketball, Mavs and Hornets is there for you.
So you might want to ask your boss if you can leave early.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad game to watch. Lonzo, Luka, maybe.
Okay.
I'd watch that.
You're going to leave here?
Can I leave early?
Jim just well actually does. On the NBA preseason game. Well, actually, that's a good game.
Yeah. Sorry, nothing else on.
Hey, are you by the way, are you re-upping on your Knicks package?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about The Athletic yesterday, the reporting on Kyrie Irving? This comes from Shams. Shams. Multiple sources with direct knowledge of Kyrie Irving's decision have told The Athletic that Kyrie Irving is not anti-vaccine and that his stance is he's upset that people are losing their jobs due to vaccine mandates. It's a stance that Irving has explained to close teammates. To him, this is about a grander fight than the one on the court, and Irving is challenging a perceived control of society and people's livelihood, according to sources with knowledge of Irving's mindset. It's a decision that he believes he's capable to make given his current life dynamics. Quote, Kyrie wants to be a voice for the voiceless, said one source. Kyrie Irving wants to be a voice for the voiceless. So it's not that he's against the vaccine. He's just against the idea that people in many professional sectors have to get the vaccine in order to be employed. And he wants to be a voice for the voiceless. The same voice who tried to convince you that the earth was flat wants to be a voice for the voiceless. That's amazing. Nobody nominated Kyrie Irving for this role. And I can't imagine that anybody's standing up and applauding Kyrie. Well, actually, I should take that back. Because, in fact, people are. We all are required to, you know, like get a driver's license and wear a helmet and
seatbelts.
Wear a seatbelt and be vaccinated if your kids are going to go off to school. Like, what are you talking about? Anyway. Coming up just past 4 o'clock on ESPN2 and ESPN+, it's the U.S. men's national team against Costa Rica. I feel like we go through this once a window. This is only the second window of World Cup qualifying where it becomes a must-win for Greg Berhalter.
You nervous?
I am nervous. I'm disappointed. I'm glad that that game against Panama happened when nobody was watching because everybody was preoccupied with the NFL. That was gross. Best effort tonight in Columbus. Costa Rica's pretty good. This window closes tonight. We're almost halfway through with qualifying. Haven't played Mexico yet, by the way. How does everybody feel about that? Still have to go to Costa Rica. So 3 points tonight, kind of important. Survivor. If not, I'm telling you, tomorrow, Greg Berhalter should be replaced by Ron Washington.
Is that right? That's it?
It's not good enough.
Ron Washington just gets any job that comes up.
Based on early reaction, yes, from people on Twitter and the text line, yes. Ron Washington should be the next manager of the U.S. men's national
team. You need a coach
team.
Or a manager?
He's needed for much more important things than the Padres. Seriously, I mean, come on with the 7 rotation in Panama. What are you doing? This one tonight makes me very nervous. Survivor, 8 p.m. on CBS. 2 castaways strategize, whatever. 7, great movie. You should always watch that. 8 p.m. on Flix West. Dogs with Extraordinary Jobs, 9 p.m. on Smith. A look at dogs that save lives across the world. I'd like to watch that. I think we're going to get a dog at some point in life.
Really?
We've talked a lot about that.
What kind of dog? Like a dog that would fit into a purse?
No.
Or like a big
I would
dog?
Like to get a German Shepherd.
Oh, really?
Better get a dog that's good with cats.
Well, we're talking in a couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've never Post had a dog real. Before, right?
Oh, when I was a kid.
Oh.
Along Came a Spider, 10:03 p.m. on SZEN. What is this SZEN channel?
No idea.
How is it that you always find programming on this channel? Nobody has it.
I think I have it.
YouTube TV gets
it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have Cezanne.
Cezanne.
So, is that what it's called? Cezanne? Season?
He always calls it S-E-Z-N, and you just called it Cezanne for the first time.
Cezanne, yes.
619 number. Right. Ron Washington is manager. Luis Rojas is bench coach. Who says no?
I like that.
760, Ron Washington sounds like a chill dude who wants this job. 858, I'm all in on Ron Washington. 951, Larry Joe here in my experience with interviews. This is what I tell people, not to get discouraged. Sometimes it's not about being told no, but more to do with the person being told yes. Not getting the job is more to do with the person getting it than you not getting it. And sometimes it may all just come down to timing. Thank you, Larry Joe. Sort of syncs up with what we said earlier. Everybody is somewhat under the understanding, though it's never been stated publicly, it's never been etched in stone, that the process was, Jace Tingler's going to get this job. He's got a huge lead over everybody else. This is what the general manager wants. And that's what he got. And that is... does not feel like it's the case now. I don't think that there is there a favorite perhaps, but does somebody have a huge insurmountable lead over everybody else in the field?
Really?
No. Really what?
Okay.
It's the second time I said it in the show.
No, I know, but it's still surprising. Just based on how it went before, that's a little bit surprising to me to not have the idea.
To not have what idea?
Like
you don't think there's a favorite?
Like an area, yeah.
There might be a favorite. But I'm saying it's not like it was in 2019.
Where the fix
where
was
Jace
in.
Tingler was so far away, you couldn't even catch him. 619, Ron Washington knows he probably won't get this job. Ron Washington knows why Ron Washington is not a manager right now. Now, okay, he spoke in third person. There's somebody who's taking a poke at it. Fine. Brandon, our buddy Brandon, says, I think we really could benefit from somebody who refers to himself in the third person as often as Ron Washington does. Great interview. I'm down with that, too. I sort of dig a guy who feels confident enough to talk in third person. I'm in on that. That's a good thing. That's a good quality to me. I agree with Brandon. Good to hear from you, Brandon. Thanks for tuning in. 619, hire Wash now. 619, what's the status on the Jim and Rich Laker wrap-up show? We need Laker talk.
I agree. But he has to watch Charlotte and the Mavs tonight, so that's
a good game.
Yeah.
It's a good game. John loved the laugh when Darren asked him which players probably told management that they'd love to play for Ron Washington.
I'm gonna say Manny Machado.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope
I'm
it would
say
be
Manny Machado, and yeah,
and hopefully that's still considered a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully right. That's a good thing.
Like his endorsement has the effect that you he thinks he it does. Not
hopefully,
the opposite.
Right. Hopefully they're like, oh man, if Manny wants this guy, we got to go somewhere else.
That's interesting. Yeah, because his guy's now going to Philly.
San Diego Mike says, holy bleep, I'm in love with Ron Washington.
He's great, man. That was great.
Borna, B-O-R-N-A. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. If not, I apologize. Ron wants this job badly, and I love it. Now, somebody said, are you going to ask him about some of the allegations that you could read about on Wikipedia and such? And I feel like we've been over this before, and I feel like we've talked about this before, and I know he's answered questions about this before. So, you know, it sort of puts us in a tricky spot where just because people haven't heard this conversation before doesn't mean it hasn't happened. And so, you know, to ask about it, I can just – and I'm struggling with this. I will tell you I'm struggling with this because I heard a little bit about what it was that happened in 2014 when he was still with the Texas Rangers. And I know people who were covering that team, who were very closely covering that team. And I think what Ron Washington said when he resigned, when he walked away from the Texas Rangers was, I need to figure things out in my life. I need to go make amends with my wife because I wasn't faithful to her. And, you know, hardly a reason for me to not consider him in 2021 for the 2020-22 season. Clearly, he's been employed in baseball. People have vetted him out. We do live in a little bit of a different culture. That all is understood. We all get it. What I have heard from people who were covering that team and what others clearly have heard, people who are national reporters like Ken Rosenthal, doesn't give them any hesitation in thinking that Ron Washington shouldn't be managing a big league team. Now, that's not my decision to make. I will just tell you, based on what I have heard, which is second and third hand stuff, which came from the Texas Rangers, yes, it was embarrassing, but it wasn't anywhere close to being illegal. And it wasn't anywhere close to being the type of thing that you would... It wasn't the NWSL. It wasn't a lot of, you know, it was embarrassing for him. And he had to embarrass his family. He embarrassed himself. All of this is very public stuff. But allegations that were made by people who maybe, you know, we were talking about the Gruden stuff. It wasn't the New York Times. It wasn't the LA Times. It wasn't the Wall Street Journal that reported it. There was one reporter who said something, and that reporter completely disappeared. And it came from a blog in Texas. It would be like if, you know, pick a blog around here, like Bolts from the Blue or Friarhood decided to report something. And then all of a sudden, when it came time to say, well, what was it? Like, the report just completely disappeared. So did the reporters, and you can't find any evidence of its existence. I realize that that's a lot of word. That's like a huge word salad, as they like to say. I'm just, I don't know. I've shared it with Marty because I trust Marty's instincts on this way more than mine because, you know, it's good to have female perspective. So what would you say?
There isn't a story. There isn't a story on this.
Right. That's but what people will read on Wikipedia read and they'll go, well, what about this? And why didn't you ask about this?
Can I ask you a question? How often have you interviewed people based on information on Wikipedia?
Well, I usually do check Wikipedia, be honest.
No, you can look at it, but you look for something substantive. Like, was this collaborated? Was this reinforced somewhere else? Did a reputable website also write about this? And I'll tell you this, the answer is no.
Right.
The answer on this is no. So I don't, that's it.
And again, we did this 2 years ago. That's why all this stuff is fresh in my mind. It's fresh in my mind because I remember we talked about this on the air 2 years ago. So, you know, from that standpoint, I would be comfortable based on what it is that I know. There would be no hesitation for me, but people will read a paragraph on a Wikipedia page and say, especially given some of the stuff with Washington, given some of the stuff that's happening in other sports, given the stuff that's happening recently with the NWSL, but knowing somebody who was covering that team, who was working in Dallas at the time, I heard it in great detail and I said, yeah, okay. He walked out. He admitted that he had been unfaithful. He talked a little bit about, he'd been suspended back in 2009 for drug use. He wanted to make it clear at the time of his resignation from the Texas Rangers, that wasn't that. It wasn't that at all. And he admits, like, he's made mistakes. And frankly, I like people who have made mistakes. They're textured. They understand.
I came back from my mistake.
Came back from mistakes. So, yeah, I get all of that. I do. I understand all that sort of stuff. But you know, somebody did say, well, why didn't you ask about such and such a thing? Yeah, I feel like we've done it. We did it 2 years ago. I'll let the Padres, they're the ones that are ultimately going to have to feel comfortable with this sort of stuff. Nothing I have heard would make me feel uncomfortable about hiring Ron Washington. And I will just leave it at that. And Marty, I think, I don't want to put any words in your mouth.
100%.
Okay.
100%.
Because I've shared, and Marty and I shared this, you know, I don't know that it's our story to tell.
No, but a lot of times if you hear something, you do your due diligence. You talk to people, you talk to other, to local reporters, to national reporters, you read up on it, and I'm just telling you there isn't anything on it. There really isn't. So there's just nowhere to go on it for me.
Right, right. I mean, the reporter who first put it out there, her name is Jamie something or other, there's no evidence of her anywhere, any place. And, you know, my understanding is there were a couple of details that were really, really off there. Really off. But that's that.
1360. Warning. Roger, ignition engaged. The countdown is on.
3, 2, 1.
Come on!
It's time for The Fusion.
Hey, last thing I'm going to add, just because I know I'm sort of speaking in code here, is, you know, the other thing that I heard, you know, from Ian Fitzsimmons, who was doing radio at the time in Dallas, was after an investigation, the Rangers didn't want him to leave. Like, they tried to talk him into staying. And that's an important detail as well. Halloween Radio is back on the free iHeartRadio app, an entire station filled with howling hits for a wicked good time. You can find it today. Open the free iHeartRadio app, search Halloween, and listen to it now. John and Rich in studio coming up at the top. They're going to be here for the next 4 hours.
Four?
3 hours of radio, then the coaches show with Brady Hoke.
And that's radio, too.
That is. Rumor has it.
4 hours.
Well, you're right. What did I forget about it? No, you're right. I'm like, wait, four? But then you start saying, I'm like, you're 100% right.
Yeah, 3 hours of whatever it is you'll talk about for 3 hours, and then an hour dedicated to Brady.
Yeah, listen, it's a long sit. I think we're game, though. I always said this. If there's one thing I hold in high regard, it's my professional prowess as a broadcaster.
Oh, yeah. So, don't you wish you could do 24 hours some days?
3 hours, 24 hours. I mean, I'm really going to knock it out of the park.
Rich, you're going to have to submit because Darren was doing, as we've heard.
Schaefer. We got Jim. We got me.
Who do you think is going to be the manager? Not who you want as the manager, but on this October 13th.
You could submit
this,
a name.
Okay, I didn't know what this was. Yeah. You know what I actually thought you were handing me? Yeah, I thought you were handing me overnight parking passes from San Diego State.
Oh, because you're going to San Jose.
Yeah, because they give you two because it's a double overnighter. Yeah,
double overnighter. Friday night football under the lights.
Yeah,
and then
how
back.
About our promo for the game? Already has the Aztecs at 6-0. Interesting.
Come on, Jim.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it does. Why are you blaming me?
It's probably accurate, but you know we got to play four quarters.
Ooh, who should I write down?
Any
right
given
now?
Friday, as the saying goes in college
does
football.
Does it really say 6-0?
I don't know.
I wasn't listening.
Yeah, just dub and be like 5. Just don't even
on
redo the voice.
Yeah,
just
replay it.
See if they can improve too.
All right, here we go.
5-0.
Time for some Friday Night Lights.
The number 24 ranked 6-0 Aztecs.
Whoa, 5-0.
Oh, man. That coach from San Jose State gets a hold of that promo.
Oh, that's bulletin in the board locker room.
Oh, look at these guys. I already think they're going 6-0.
The flagship says they already beat us.
Didn't that happen earlier this year to San Diego State? Yes, you were the one that pointed that out.
What's that?
The Utah game notes?
Oh, it said it. It's like Kyle Whittingham, this will be his 191st win, right, making him the winningest coach in Pac-12 or whatever.
So did we just jinx the team? Is that what
well,
you're
I don't know
saying?
If I don't know if we did.
Yeah,
Big voice guy
might have. Did Jim?
It was Jim.
Yeah.
Jim, you're the one that does the copy for the promos, right?
No.
That's Jim's voice.
My voice changes when I do promos.
That would be incredible.
That
way
would be awesome.
If Jin's just kind of this squirrely dude, and then when you
he
put a little snare behind him,
I'm
and
like Morgan Freeman, I just bust out a Morgan Freeman
Jim
voice.
Jim actually has a radio voice that he doesn't use on radio.
The 5-0 Aztecs, just
6-0 Aztecs.
6-0 Aztecs.
6-0. Oh man!
All right, so this will be a nice internal competition. What is the winner? If there is a winner, what does the winner get?
I think it should be something really good. Like, can we get a sponsor involved in this?
Okay. Yes. How about a new Traeger?
A new Traeger.
A new grill?
A new
I'm not buying.
Yeah. How about new speakers for the
house?
Wait,
does the loser maybe, the four losers, like all put in, make it up, $20.
I like
this.
So
then the winner gets 100, whatever
the
math
is. Yeah, yeah, and then your only responsibility as the winner is you have to pick something cool to spend the money on and then share it with the rest of the station.
Oh. We got
to
get Steve and Fletch involved here.
Yeah, and Brent. Yeah.
Hang on, I'm going to write my name on this. I'm pretty confident with my selection.
Really?
Okay.
Okay.
Now date it. Now we're only allowing one entry.
Okay, that's fine.
And then when the winner is announced, when the manager is announced, Cliff Albert will come in here and he will read everybody's predictions.
I like that.
I feel horrible about mine already.
Do you really?
I just went like...
Well, it's only left costing you $50, so whatever.
$50?
Boom.
Okay. Well, let's just say it's $10. So if you lose, you put $10 in? So
Darren threw me off today because he said...
$10 you spend on coffee, $20 feels like it. You know what I mean?
And if there's a tie, so if two people have, you know, Ron Washington, then you just split it.
Yeah, you just split the pot. Or then flip a coin. Those two get to decide.
Wow.
You know, maybe rock, paper, scissors for the kitty, so to speak.
For the kitty.
I want to fast forward. I want to fast forward and see how it ends. You know what I mean? There's a lot of twists
and
turns.
I'm very impatient. You're right.
Yeah, that's probably
by the way, you know what most likely happens to me? By Monday, I've forgotten we've done this.
Oh, you're like,
and then
I say?
3 weeks later after the postseason, they announce their manager, and I have no idea. I'm just like, why am I giving you $20?
Right, exactly.
We're okay with that.
Well, I'll pay. I can promise you that.
And then we'll open a fake envelope from Rich, and we'll say, Branch Rickey, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Joe Torre.
Is Marty cool with the $20?
Yeah, she's down.
Yeah, she's
cool.
Good. Okay. Yeah.
She's good with it.
Marty's good people.
Well, you got money flying out of those pockets.
No big deal.
All right, what's coming up on the big show today?
Oh, a lot.
We got a busy show.
Busy
Chargers
day?
Update, Raiders update,
Cowboys update.
Cowboys update.
Aztecs update.
Aztecs update on the new Aztec Stadium ticket pricing. And then in general, we're just going to try our best to sort out the shrapnel from the NFL emails and the investigation that brought down Gruden, and play a little bit of the Mike Mayock press conference. If you missed it this morning, I mean, that man's in a position nobody in the history of the NFL has ever been in. So good luck, Mike.
Good luck.